Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Nice to gather with you once again. We're turning to Luke's Gospel, the chapter 15, and we've been concentrating upon one verse simply because that one verse contains the subject matter that we're looking at. Though we have more of the wonderful story of the prodigal son to look at in later assemblies. It's the verse 13 that we're reading. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. I do hope that when you read the Word of God, every word soaks in. Every word soaks in, because every word has in it something for you. God has it there so that you might benefit from it. Now, we have considered so far in our study of the prodigal his restlessness and his rebellion. We've gone over these things, but I remember an old preacher many years ago saying, and I wouldn't have been too long saying, but I remember him saying, I've told you this before, but I'll tell you it again. He said, when you get up to preach, tell them what you're going to say. And when you've done that, then tell them what it is you plan to say. And when you've done that, then tell them what it is you've just said. And if by that time they haven't got your message, then just forget being a preacher. Well, I'm following his advice, and I'm going over again what I have told you, just to refresh your memories. We all need our memories refreshed. I've spoken to you about the restlessness that this young man showed in his father's house. He had no reason for this restlessness and this rebelliousness. Things were well with him. But you know, boys and girls, listen to me. When things are well with us, we rarely see it. We rarely understand it. But we're always pining for something else that we imagine is better. And that's how it was with the prodigal son. Now, we continued our study with a look at how he asked his father for a portion, which his father gave him, and then he headed out for a far country, which he thought was much better than what he had in his father's house. He went to a far country to get well away from his father. He wasn't intending living down the road and then popping in to see his dad every so often and see how things were going. No! He was going to get well away so that he would get out from under the influence of his father. Well, he goes to the far country, as we read this morning, and there he wasted his living. He wasted what he had received from his father in riotous living. And there's a couple of points I want to just make with you today. The first thing, in the far country, things didn't go as he expected them to go. The events in the far country weren't what he had planned. He didn't plan to waste his money. He didn't plan to starve. None of these things had a place in his plan. But that's how things turned out. And we have got to learn something from God here. And that is that when we turn from the Lord, when we say, I don't want to live by His law and by His word, I want to govern myself, the outcome of that can only be disaster. Can only be disaster. There's a little statement in Hebrews, the chapter 3, and the verse 13, and there's a phrase in that verse that I want you ever to bear in mind. Never, never, never forget it. Verse 13 of Hebrews 3 reads, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. This young man was encouraged by his sinful appetites to go to the far country. And he imagined that there, every desire of his heart would be fulfilled. He would have a satisfaction that he could never have in his father's house. But just you remember this. The devil's advertising is a lie. It's a lie. He advertises that which is false. We have in this country, you know, an agency that routinely examines every advertisement all those things that are on the television and in newspapers and so forth, they review these to see that they're telling the truth. They routinely examine every advertisement to see that people are not being encouraged to expect from the products advertised that which in reality can never be the case. And if they had any control over what the devil says, every advertisement of the devil would be banned. Because everything he says is a lie. Everything the devil says is a lie. And what he tells you about a life of sin and a life of defiance of God and a life away from God and a life under your own control is a lie. It will not come about. And that's what the prodigal discovered. And the way the story is told, it is apparent he learned that very, very quickly. He learned that very quickly, that things weren't as he expected them to be. He imagined that he would have a fullness of life that he had never had in his father's house, but instead, as soon as he arrived in the far country, he began to decline into poverty and utter destitution. He had a loving father, and he had a household in which I'm sure he had many friends, but the funny thing is, we never read of one friend of his in the far country. Doesn't seem to be one friend that came to him in his distress and offered him help. Not one. Oh, boys and girls, I cannot be too plain in my warning to you that all that the world says and all that the devil says and all that your own flesh says is deceitful. Remember what we read in Jeremiah, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. That means that if the devil's a liar, your own heart is a bigger liar. Your own heart will deceive you to a greater degree than the devil. The heart is deceitful above all things. And that's what the prodigal discovered. He discovered he wasn't his own master. That's what he thought he was gaining, you see, when he left his father's house. He was gaining freedom. Freedom to live as he liked. But he soon discovered that wasn't the case. He soon discovered that wasn't the case. And if you reject the Lord Jesus Christ in order to live your own life, you will soon discover that you haven't obtained freedom, but you've obtained bondage. You've obtained bondage. Paul, when he wrote to the Romans, said this, "But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you." Now he says, you Romans, and the Romans as citizens were, I suppose, to a degree, a large degree, the envy of the world because of the freedoms that they had as citizens. Paul was a citizen of the Roman Empire, and there were times when he used his citizenship against those who were seeking to persecute him and imprison him. Read the story of his visit to Philippi. Read the story of his visit to Jerusalem when he was arrested and was about to be flogged. And he said, "Can you do this on a Roman citizen who hasn't been tried and convicted?" And the soldier backed off immediately. Though he was a senior rank, he backed off immediately, fearful of breaching the rights and the freedoms of a citizen of Rome. But here, Paul is writing to those who were citizens, right in the very heart of Rome, and he says, "You were servants of sin." The word servant there actually means slave, slave of sin. Now, we know little of what a slave is, but a slave is someone who really has no life of their own. They get up when they're told to get up, they go to bed when they're told to go to bed. And every step they take that day, they take in obedience to some command that's given to them. They eat when they're told to eat, and they eat what they're told to eat. They have no will or mind of their own. They're under the control of a master. And that's what the sinner is. And when the sinner thinks that by turning his back upon the Lord and upon the gospel and following Christ, he's actually entering into freedom, he's not. If he could but see it, he's putting chains on his wrist and around his ankles, and he's becoming the slave of sin more and more and more. That's how it was with the poor prodigal. He thought he was really going to be his own master now that he got away from his father. But he discovered that wasn't the case. Oh, boys and girls, I'm standing before you today, and I'm trying to warn you not to believe the voice of sin, or the voice of the flesh, or the voice of the devil. I'm urging you to heed only what you read in the Bible. The promises of God, the life that God sets before you. Believe only what God says, for everything else is a lie and a falsehood. Deliverance and freedom comes only through the gospel. How often the Lord Jesus, during his ministry, delivered people. Every person that he encountered and bestowed his mercy upon, they enjoyed a deliverance. We can see that so obviously, just reading this morning, of a woman who was stooped right over because of a disease. And she was bowed down and she couldn't look up. The Savior came and he delivered her. He delivered men and women from the bondage of the devil, the direct possession of the devil. He delivered men and women from many diseases, and he delivered them all, above all, from the bondage of sin, set them free, and they began to follow him. Just like the blind man Bartimaeus. I love that little phrase that ends the story. Poor man, sitting in his darkness, hears the crowd, is told that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by, he cries out, "Have mercy on me," cries out until his cry reaches the Savior, and the Savior stops and said, "Bring him to me." And he comes before the Savior, and the Savior said to him, "What do you want?" Listen to me, boys and girls. The Lord Jesus knew exactly what he needed. He knew all about blind Bartimaeus, and yet he asked that question, "What do you want?" Do you know why? The Lord always tests everybody who comes to him to see what it is their heart desires. There were those who came to him, and he said to them, "You're only coming to me because you got a free meal when I fed the thousands with the fish and the loaves. And you're only coming back again to get another free meal. You've no desire to be my disciple." And so he says to this blind man, "What is it you want?" "Oh," he says, "that I might receive my sight." And the Lord, of course, bestows the wonderful gift of sight to the man. And then it says, he followed him in the way. He immediately began to follow the Lord Jesus where he was going. He was going to Jerusalem at that time. And he began to follow the Lord Jesus. He didn't say, "Boy, now that I can see all those places that I have heard about, I'm going to go to them and see them." No, he said, "I'm going to follow Jesus." Because therein is life, therein is freedom, therein is full enjoyment. Poor prodigal didn't realize that. He thought he was going into freedom, but in truth he was going into bondage. He became a slave in the far country. He really did. He did things in the far country. He worked at things in the far country he had never done at home. For a start, he never had pigs at home, because pigs were forbidden for the Jews to have. So you had never encountered pigs. But here he was, brought right down to the level of pigs. Aye, lower than pigs, because they were eating better than he was. That's what sin will do, boys and girls. That's what sin will do. There's something I've said already, but we'll close with it. I want to repeat this and emphasize this. And that is, when he said, "I'm going," his father let him go. You don't read of his father arguing with him. Now, I have no doubt the father would have said, "Why do you want to go? Do you think it's a wise thing to do?" I've no doubt that took place. But there was no real confrontation. The father didn't say, "You're going to, well, you'll not go with my money." Didn't say that. But he gave him the money. And when he went off, though his father would have shown signs of grief and sorrow at him leaving, because we read of his father seeing him return when he was yet afar off, indicating that the father was watching for him and longing for him and that feeling of heart would have been there when he departed. He would have watched him go down the road with grief of heart. But he didn't stop him. Listen to me, boys and girls. God doesn't stop men acting foolishly. God doesn't stop young people defying him, rebelling against him. That's what you want to do. God will let you do it. Now, he'll warn you through people like me and your teachers and your preachers that what you're doing is wrong and foolish and there's an awful price to pay. But he'll not stop you. He'll let you go on. A wee verse in Psalm 81. Look it up. It's the verse 12. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsel. Psalm 81, verse 12. You look at that. God gave them up. What a tragic day it is when God takes his hand off someone. He's talking here about all who would defy him. They don't want to heed God or heed his word, but like the prodigal, they want to follow their heart's lusts. They want to walk in their own counsel, their own advice, their own desires, their own wisdom. God gives them up. You know, presently, in the life of every one of you, God restrains sin. He shelters you from the power of sin. He holds back sin from bringing ruin to you. As it was in the book of Job, when the devil looked with, what shall we say, hunger upon Job, and was saying in his heart, if I only could get my hand on that man. But God kept him back. The devil said, you have a hedge about Job that stops me getting at him. And that's how it is. That's how it is with all who, in God's mercy, sit under the gospel, whether they're saved or whether they're not. There's a fence about them. There's a covering over their head that offers them protection. But those who defy God, and those who seek after sin and this world rather than God and his mercy, God will give them up. He'll open the gate, and he'll let them leave the shelter that he has been providing, and let them go out into the wide world and encounter the power of sin. I'll tell you a wee story. Back in the 70s, we lived way down the shore road, on the far side of Enniskillen, in the townland of Drumcrow East, right on the shore of Lough Erne, Lower Lough Erne. And we used to go out in the boat. There was a lovely bay that came in just where we were living. And we used to go out in the boat, do a bit of fishing. It really was lovely. But you know the strange thing? While you were rowing around, or sometimes we put an outboard motor on the boat, while you were just going around the bay, it was beautifully calm. But as soon as you ventured out past the headland into the open loch, it was a different place entirely. I learned that the hard way one day. Our oldest boy, Andy, he wouldn't have been even at school, and he was with me. Then I thought we'd show him a bit more of the shore of Lough Erne, and we went out past the headland, and it was like entering into the Atlantic Ocean. Suddenly we were up and down to such a degree that I was scared to turn broadside to the waves that were coming. And I had a head on into the waves for the sake of safety, until I got round into another wee calm bay and turned round and came back out into the big ocean again. And I learned that wee calm bay was a nice sheltered place, but you could go beyond it into a very unsheltered place, and that's how it is, boys and girls. Out there in the world, there is a place where the winds of sin and darkness blow, ready to bring to you great trouble. Beyond your control, it will endanger you, endanger your life. Oh, don't be like the prodigal, but stay in your Father's house. Stay under his control, his authority. Obey his word and enjoy the provisions of his table. If you're not saved today, heed the warning. Trust the Savior. Let's bow in prayer. O God, our Heavenly Father, we ask Thee to bless us. We ask Thee, Lord, to take Your Word and apply it to the hearts of boys and girls today. There is much that we have said, Lord, that is beyond the experience of the children here. And consequently, Lord, there's the temptation to say, how do I know it's true? Oh, persuade hearts, Lord, of the truth of the warnings of thy word. Bring any here who are not saved to a saving knowledge of the Saviour, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.